Welcome to Real Men Connect. Are you ready to be the extraordinary man, husband, father, and leader God called and created you to be? Then get ready to receive wisdom and guidance from some of the country's most respected men of faith as you learn everything you need to know to go from good man to great man, God's way. No judgment, no shame. Just real men with real challenges seeking real change. All for God's glory.
Hello, mighty men of God, and welcome to the Real Men Podcast, where we help good men become great men God's way. I'm your host, Dr. Joe Martin, and every week we interview some of the nation's most respected and accomplished men of faith to find out what it really takes to become the kind of husband, father, and spiritual leader God called and created us to be. Each interview session is packed with practical, proven biblical principles you can immediately apply in your relationships, on your job, and in your community. Today we have with us Cody Bobe, who's the author of the SoulCon Challenge and the founder of SoulCon. SoulCon is a men's ministry with a global focus to inspire men to live a special forces lifestyle for Jesus Christ. I just love that. SoulCon is committed to inspire men to increase their fitness levels and embrace a special forces lifestyle for Jesus Christ. Cody is a Navy veteran, and he lives in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, with his wife and two children, Ty and Parker, and he's been married for 10 years. I heard about Cody through a faculty member on our Real Men University campus, and I told him I was looking for an on-fire Christian man in the field of fitness. And when I looked up Cody on the internet, I was blown away. I feel spiritually connected to him on so many fronts that he doesn't even know about yet, but he will find out, not just fitness. But today I brought Cody on to talk to us about men's health and how to make fitness make sense, not only to us as men, but more importantly as believers. And I'm so excited to have him on the Real Men Connect podcast. And with that being said, welcome Cody to the show.
Man, thank you so much. I'm so honored to be on this and to have this little bit of time to invest in sharing our lives and the encouragement to every man listening. So I'm honored. Thank you.
And Cody, I'm so excited about having you on the air. And we talked prior to coming on the air that this is the first interview that I did not prepare questions for. And typically, because I'm learning about a topic area that I don't know much about, but I think the listeners out there, they've been listening with us for a while. They know that my wife is in the field of fitness. And so I've been exposed to this in this area for probably for the last 9 years. I've been serious about fitness for the last probably almost going on 30 years now. And so I can't wait to talk to you about it because I'm always hearing it from a female's perspective, but I rarely get to talk to men who have a love for fitness, but also a love for Christ. So I'm excited about that. And yeah, Cole, we're going to just kick off the show like we always do by asking our men their favorite Bible verse. So Cody, what's your favorite Bible verse and why does it give you inspiration?
Yeah. Again, thank you. But my favorite for me with the area of men's ministry with a fitness focus is Philippians 4:8. And Philippians 4:8, I'm just going to read it. It says, "Finally, brethren," I'm reading it out of the New King James Version. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." I can spend the next three podcasts teaching on why I love that verse so much, but I have to share, as somebody that does fitness and teaches people the understanding of changing what they think to changing what they're speaking and their daily habits, the actions that define their habits and then their character, I've understood more in the last 10 years of writing books and speaking than I ever have of the importance of what the Apostle Paul shared with us in that verse. Because Paul wasn't writing that in a hammock on a vacation with no worries.
Right.
Paul was writing that in house arrest in Philippi, never knowing when the end for his life was coming. So just the massive amounts of persecution, and he still writes that. So I know from the fitness perspective, you can put me on a treadmill, which I think is one of the biggest torture devices in fitness.
I agree with you on that.
Man, I can't believe those things sell for so much money. I use them. I use them. I'm thankful for them. But if I can control the way I think on a treadmill, if I can choose thoughts that worship God on a treadmill, it gives me training to be able to impact other areas of my life. And as men, we don't have a choice especially with our world today, to meditate on those things, because we have to choose what we meditate on. And the heart of what I do with men is saying, you can't control everything that comes into your brain. You can't. So we're just in a world that's inundated by advertisements to get our brain to control our body and our body to control our pocketbook. And that's what its marketing is focused towards. We have about 30 to 50,000 thoughts a day. But what we can control is what we meditate on. I love that verse, and that verse really ties in to a lot of the teaching I do. When Jesus says in Mark 12, 30 and 31, because I'm a simple guy, I'm a fitness guy, I like it simple. Jesus makes a very simple statement. When all the Pharisees and the Sadducees are questioning him, what are the greatest commandments? He said, then love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the mind he talked about there is your deep intellectual thinking, what you meditate on. And Paul teaches us, under the influence and the power of the Holy Spirit, we have to choose to make those, everything that he said in Philippians 4. And that, to me, is really the foundation of what I do and where fitness on a Christ-centered lens starts.
You know, I love that, Cody. And I think I already can kind of foresee where this interview is going to be going when it comes to the area of fitness. You know, I mentioned during your introduction that the person who had referred me to you, he's a faculty member, what we call them professors, on our virtual Real Men University campus. And he talks about the issues of dealing with being a parent. But I just posted in our university a question that I put out to men. I think it was it yesterday or the day before yesterday? I can't exactly remember when. But the question was, what area in your thought process or in your mind that the enemy seems to attack you consistently? What is he saying to you? And all I can tell you, Cody, is that when I read the comments, I was blown away on how the enemy knows exactly that power of suggestion to put into your mind. Like you say, you can't control those thoughts that are coming in, but we have to control how we respond to it. And we're talking about some great men of God, some who are just starting the journey, some who've been in the journey for a while, and to see the mental assault that the enemy takes on us, because he knows that if he can affect your mind, which is the battlefield, he can affect all the other areas of your life. So I'm glad that you brought that up. We're going to transition and start with your story, because Cody, I believe everyone has a story. So I always ask our guests to briefly kind of share with us their personal story. And for you in particular, you have a background in the military, but obviously you have a passion for fitness in the Lord. But I want to know what led you to this and how did you get involved in this arena?
I love anytime I get to share my story, and I always encourage men, just like you're doing, share your story, because we don't overcome Satan by memorizing books of the Bible. We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Amen. Amen. So I'm honored every time I get to share about me and my testimony. So I got brought up in a home, a broken home, where my parents were divorced when I was 12 months old. And my dad got custody of my brother and I. My brother's 19 months older than I am, and my dad got custody of both of us. And I got brought up with him, and man, he did an awesome job. He was a focused parent, and he really invested in our lives. And through that process, my parents, there was always every divorce. Divorce breaks God's heart, no matter what area it's in, because marriage was his idea, and it's the best thing for us. That are married is to stay married. And God loves marriage. So any level of divorce is hard. It's hard on the human soul. And God can redeem any story, but I know as a child, marriage is difficult on the kids because they don't understand it. And so I know from that perspective of watching my parents, they still don't like each other. They get along a little bit more now. But growing up, I was around that house and seeing my dad and my mom constantly fight for control of us, fight for legal guardianship, and my mom wanting custody and my dad going to court, and this process of developing psychologically as a young man in this life. And when that's happening, a lot of young men, when they face that, when their dad's raising them, and it wasn't a Christian home that I was raised in. He believed God was real, and he did his best to train us, but it wasn't a Christian home. So you're finding your way as a man, and you're seeing this process. And I'll never forget, man. There's so many times where I look at my life and I just wonder, like, why is this happening? Did I cause this? And like, what's the purpose of my life? And I remember having this thought when I was like 5 years old. I always joke with people that I'm more of a philosopher than a fitness guy that does men's ministry at that young age. In that process, then I develop, and I remember getting into middle school. In middle school, I started to find my my identity in what other people said about me, and that's when it really started. Because you get brought up in a broken home, you can't find your identity really in that home. So you get to middle school, you're starting to develop, you start to hit puberty in that process. And man, I was a good kid in middle school. I started to get really good grades. The teachers loved me. I hung out with good guys, good friends, and I was accepted for being a good kid, and I really found my identity in that, and went through middle school, and I got into high school. And there was one night when I was 13, I'll never forget, it was with Apple Puckers. And you know, going from middle school to high school is such a, as a man we know, such a developmental process, and it's a big shift. But again, finding my acceptance in what other people said about me and my perceived, what they perceived me to be. And now I go into high school as a freshman wanting to be cool and accepted by others. And I'm at this party where everybody's getting drunk, and I've never seen this before. And they offer me a shot of Apple Puckers. And it was that shot of Apple Puckers that sent me down the spiral I started in high school. And in high school, in my freshman year, I got a 2.1 on my GPA. Well, I was a 4.0 student before then. I started drinking heavily and partying a lot. And I remember when I finished my freshman year thinking, I'm turning into a loser. And my dad always taught me, my brother and I, that we need to be winners. And I just remember thinking, I'm turning into a loser and I don't know how to stop it. I want to be a good person. So I started to do a little bit of behavior modification, changing my perspective towards grades, and I just started to cheat a lot more to increase my GPA, but I still partied heavy. And I started to live on the acceptance because, man, I'm a man. Like, we long for a warrior brother community and acceptance. So whether that's a deep gang, whatever that is, it's, we long for it. We're created for it, and I wanted that acceptance. And I just fell heavily into the partying lifestyle. And I always, inside of me, I wanted to be a good person. I wanted to, wanted to be accepted, and that never happened through that process, man. And, I'll never forget, I was 17. And one of the things I hung on to in my life was, as I was partying, a lot of my life was just kind of falling apart. I remember thinking, at least I still have my virginity. I'm doing all these things with these women or with these girls. At least I still have my virginity. And one night I got so drunk, I forgot that night. I don't remember anything, but I lost my virginity to a woman that was a lot older than I was. And I just remember that next morning thinking, I've lost my chance to be a good person, and went spiraling even more downhill. And I graduated high school looking into my future to say, I really want inside of me to be something and someone significant. I don't know how to do it. And I was at that point going to a state university. I was planning on going to a state university. And I was actually out to breakfast with my mom, and I looked at the table, and there was a placard on the table to go into the United States Navy. And on the back, it had a picture of a Navy SEAL. And I just remember thinking, I could do that. I'm physically fit. I could go in and I could make a name for myself. So I went and talked to the recruiter. I went with my dad then and talked to the recruiter. And 2 weeks later, I was enlisted and went through the process at MEPS. And then 2 weeks later from that, I was on my way to Navy boot camp. And I was contracted in Special Forces as a rescue swimmer, and wanted to make a name for myself. And 2 days after, I get to boot camp thinking, I'm finally going to have what it takes to make myself a good person and make a name for Cody Bobe as somebody who's not a partying wild guy. And I crumbled to peer pressure in boot camp and fell right back into the identity, the only identity that I knew. And in this process of going through boot camp and going through the start of the Navy, I remember thinking, man, I'm slipping again. I'm starting to party so heavy. I'm going to lose my ability to go out and be Special Forces We go to Panama City one weekend for spring break, and we party just about everything that you could do for that entire weekend. And the darkness in my soul of chasing every lust I can imagine, finally hitting my knees on the next Tuesday night in my barracks room and opening a Bible and saying, "If you're real, God, I am completely in. I'm in. I've been searching for love by chasing lusts." But I just remember the conversation. I opened up the Bible, and the only thing I said to God was, "God, if you're real, I'm in. And if you are who this book says that you are, I'll commit the rest of my life to tell people that you're real." And at that point in my life, my ministry started. Now, a lot of people say that they receive their calling at different times, but at that point in my life, my ministry, my new birth in Christ happened, and my ministry started. It was March 24th, 2004. I stand up and I walk through the room, and I'll never forget, Joe, I looked in the mirror, and I was going to go tell my friend who was connected. We had bathrooms, we're connected our rooms, and four people in each room, and I was by myself in this room. Everybody else was still at school and at the training, and I walked over to tell him what happened, and I'll never forget, I walked past my reflection in the mirror, and it was like time stood still for me, because I was looking at the same reflection that I just grew to think and hate, that every time I'd see myself at the 2, 3, 4 a.m. on the party nights, I would look at myself and think, "You're such a loser. You're such a loser." And I just experienced this new birth in Christ that I didn't know about scripturally, but I just experienced unconditional love and unconditional acceptance for the first time in my life. And I walk past and I see my reflection. And at that point, the ministry of what SoulCon Ministries is was birthed. And I started to become study theology and philosophy on everything changed when I met Christ, but still there's parts of me that did not change. And I remember looking at my body and having that thought. And from that point forward, my life changed. My one of my billeting officers in the Navy came to me, and I was still contracted in to be a rescue swimmer. And then I wanted to go be a Navy SEAL. And he said, "Hey, we have a spot open in Oklahoma City for you to fly with this community called Tacomo. And it's an honor to be selected to do this. We think you should take it." And I knew I had peace in my heart to go. I remember joking with him. I said, "I didn't join the Navy to go to Oklahoma City, but I knew that God was working in my heart to go." And I went, and I left the dream to go into Special Forces behind. And I got to Oklahoma City, got in Tacomo, finished my time of 6 years active duty here in Oklahoma City. But I never lost my heart for the Special Forces community and what I saw through training. And I wanted to get that brotherhood and that warrior mindset in the minds of every man that I encountered in discipleship. So now what I want to get into it more, but my story was, my favorite part of my story comes down to on March 24th, 2004, I realized what Jesus did for me on the cross. And I started to become fascinated with what he didn't do for me on the cross. And that's what I'm excited to jump into more with you as we talk about what my ministry is on inspiring men to be a Special Forces soldier for Jesus. Or if you're already a Special Forces soldier, the Special Forces community and the Navy SEAL, where I learned and wanted to go into, they have a philosophy that says you have to earn your trident, which is the Navy SEAL emblem, every day. So you never stop training, and you never stop developing, you never stop growing. And how do I get that philosophy in Christian men? So that is the part of my story that God has used to call me into this ministry. I look forward to sharing more about that on this podcast.
You know, and Cody, I tell you, I love hearing testimonies, and because at the same time, we have thousands and thousands of listeners all over the country. I think the last time we even checked the stats, we have at least 100 listeners in 18 different countries, which is amazing.
Wow.
But when I hear the testimonies, and I know I start getting these pictures of people I know, men I know personally, and who's going to be impacted by the testimony that I'm hearing. And already there are several faces that pop into my mind's eye that I can see who's going to be blessed by your testimony. And Cody, I hate to put you on the spot like this, but
yeah,
you know, because I brought you on the show, we're going to talk about fitness. But one of the things, and I mentioned this to you before we came on the air, that I had used the phrase special force Christians, and the people looked at me like I had grown two heads or something. And to me, I said, I didn't just want to be a Christian. I want to be a special force Christian, because I knew, I've always admired and respected men in the military who not only just served our country, but wanted to do it on a level that they were willing to give up everything and anything, comfort, just so they can be sold out to each other as brothers, but also to our country and to God. So I've always been fascinated by that. And I say, I hate to put you on the spot, man, I want to spend a show just talking about that. And you know, and everything, because I want to talk to you about fitness, but that is, boy, everything in me is trying to resist diving in deep on that. So I hate to put you on the spot, but if you don't mind, I would love to bring you on the show just to talk about what it takes to be a special force Christian. And so I want you to prayerfully consider that. Now, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I hope that you agree to come on and do that, man. I would love that.
Yeah, I'm in. I'd love to.
Now, what I want to find out now for you, because I've been writing notes down here, different aspects of your testimony, but I want to know, what inspired you to go into the fitness arena, though? What turned you, you know, obviously you found Christ in your identity. To me, the biggest part of your story to me is knowing who you are in Christ. Because I always tell people, especially men, that if you're struggling with anything, if you go back to the core, into the root, it's probably going to be your identity in Christ and who you think you are in Christ and how you think God sees you, as opposed to the truth, what the word says about how God sees you. So, but what led you into fitness, though, out of all of this?
Yeah, man. Cool. I love that it comes down to, and this is the basis of what I teach, you know, the identity versus personality. And I'll never forget, there's so many times it rang through my head as I go through Naval Air Crew Candidate School in the Navy, which is a brutal program physically. It's 8 weeks of really intense training, and you can't really fail evolutions. And, you know, some of the tests are you have to swim a mile in a flight suit without touching a wall in a pool. So strenuous physical activities. But, I'll never forget some of these instructors. Now, I don't know if they were believers or not, but they would always push us, and they would speak faith into us. And I remember thinking, like, they're challenging me, and they believe that I'm stronger than I think that I am. And sure enough, I finished that training, and I was stronger and faster, and I could do more push-ups and more sit-ups than I could at the start. And that's what made me deep dive into being the philosopher that I am. And then I remember I go to this community in Tacomo in Oklahoma City, which I'm so honored to be a part of. And some of the most brilliant men in the world, it's the community is amazing. And they're physically elite. So you have to be brilliant and physically elite. I don't know how I got in. I think they aired me on the physically elite side. But I remember getting in and seeing these guys that passed these tests that I just came from. We all went through the same school you saw in G.I. Jane. So the SEER school, Survive, Evade, Resist, and Escape, where you get the just crap kicked out of you. And I can't wait on the Special Forces talk, which I want to do with you guys. Make sure you listen to that, because I'll break down SEER school, and I'll teach from that on Philippians 4:8 on overcoming physical adversity mentally. But I remember, so don't miss that. I can't wait for that, Joe. It's going to be really fun.
Awesome.
I remember looking at these guys and thinking, why are there so many men and women struggling with their health? Mm-hmm. And I remember looking at that thinking, hey, what's going on? So I started to study fitness. I started to help our command master chief with our fitness program, and really saw that God had given me an anointing to help people with fitness, because I wasn't focused on eat less, move more, because that's simple. It's the first law of thermodynamics. If you want to lose weight, you eat less and you move more, and it's just like gravity. If I want to push a piano off a building and I want it to hit the ground, I just push it. I have to apply the force to push, and then it will drop. First law of thermodynamics is the same way, and I started to study science. I love science. God created it. And I started to realize that there's no one-size-fits-all program in fitness, because every person has a different soul. And as it started to, man, really suck me in to the study and the love of who each person is individually. Because I started to learn that more on their personality, where Man, I'll never forget, there was one guy here in Oklahoma City. He's 62 years old when I first started talking to him. I said, man, you should come into the gym and start exercising. No, man, I've never exercised in my life. It's not for me. To this day, this man runs, has run one half marathon and three full marathons, and he does it with no music, and he's a smile on his face, and he's a believer. He's just an amazing guy. And what I love about fitness is the teaching that, especially for a Christian on that level, is our identity has to, we have to focus on that more than we focus on our personality. Now, our personality is in the frontal lobe and prefrontal cortex of our physical brain. It is from what we have learned and experienced and what we're thinking in the moment. It is not futuristic. Our identity in Christ is from death to the point we're at right now, from eternity to now. So we have to make the shift. And I'll never forget, man, in fitness, so many people that I've taken, one guy, he wrote about it in, his name's Steve Strang. He owns Charisma Media. He went through the SoulCon Challenge beta test with me. He could only do 3 pull-ups at the time. And I'm going to have him listen to this. He's just a phenomenal guy. But he could do 3 pull-ups. And now he does 30 pull-ups every day. So it's just taking your – fitness is a practical way to take your brain and force it to be transformed to who God is and who you are in Christ. And that's what I've – that's where, for men listening, there's nothing in our life that does not have – complete majestic significance in it. There's nothing. Now, I believe there's nothing that is without amazing majesty from the King of Kings. There's nothing. And when we view it that way, we start to understand the beauty in everyday disciplines. And we don't focus on the pain, we focus on the result. So that's really when I got into fitness, I learned every person has a soul, and that soul God loves like crazy. He created them. He knit that soul together in the mother's womb.
You know, and Cody, I tell you, because I love your passion for fitness. I mean, you sound just like my wife. And I watch as I minister to men, visit churches, speak at on different platforms. And I look in these churches, and I'm very concerned, yeah. Cody. And I know you see the same thing. And that's where we're going to shift the conversation, because I think there's not a man out there who I believe is listening to this, not thinking to himself, yeah, okay, I know I need to work out. I know I need to take better care of my health. But to me, you make time for what's most important to you. Yeah. And it doesn't seem like their health is a priority. You say that's kind of what drove you into fitness when you saw men struggling with their health. Yeah. And my wife has a saying that I love. She says when she talks to her potential clients, she says, my job, especially if it's believers, she said, my job is to get your body to look like your faith.
Come on, man.
Or so if good. You have a good body, get your faith looking like your body.
Yes.
You know. And so what I see, and it bothers me when I see these great men of God who love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, they will give you a good word. They will speak life into you. They will encourage you. They will do whatever they can to strengthen your faith in Christ. And I don't know if it's just me. Maybe I'm just being too critical, Cody, but it's hard for me to really take them seriously when I see their bodies falling apart.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking there's obviously something wrong here that you're not addressing. Because if God is using you as a vessel and Amen. You are, and your body is this temple, how come you're not taking care of it? And so my question to you as we start this transition, because you would know this more so than I would dealing with so many men in this particular topic area, is why do you believe men struggle so much with this when we know better, but we won't do it? What's stopping us?
Yeah. Oh, man, I love that question. A lot of times when I speak, there's typically a song where we're singing that we love God with all of our heart. Typically in the worship sets, no matter what church you're in, what men's conference, there is that song, the God, I love you with all my heart, I surrender all, whatever that is. And I always am fascinated as I look at people worshiping to say, what if the Holy Spirit walked into this room because he's with us and we could see him physically and he took our blood pressure?
Wow.
And I don't get to share that a lot from the stage, so I'm so thrilled you asked that question. But what if he took our blood pressure? Because what I'm fascinated with, Joe, is when Jesus said the simple, I understand from a military mindset, I deployed in Operation Iraqi Freedom. When I'm sitting in a mission briefing room and you are explaining, if you're the commander, you're explaining the enemy, I'm going to listen. And if the enemy knows that I am a special force coming to get you, they're going to study me to figure out how they can stop me. So when Jesus said that, Satan was listening. And Satan knows, and this is what I tell men all the time, Satan knows the Bible better than you do. He knows the context better than you do, and he knows how to lie better than you do. So when Jesus said, I want you to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and the second commandment is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. I think so many men get caught up in the second part of that, and we forget the first part. Because what does it look like to love God with all of your mind? I'm going to break it down really fast. Well, if you love God with all your mind, we know now in science, there's a study called epigenetics. And it's studying on how the brain can grow neurons and become a more advanced system and be controlled by the mind. So the brain is not like Darwin's study. Darwin's studies were that the brain was it. Like every operating system was in the brain. Now we know from science, and I know experientially through Seer School, that if I think differently, I can change the way my body feels. So the brain is the operating system for the mind. So if I really love God with all my mind, my brain should reflect that. Now we have with science a way to see if I love Jesus with all my brain. You can put an fMRI scanner on people's heads and you can take them into a private room and you could show pictures of their favorite college football team, their kids, their wife, pornography. You could show them these things that make their brain light up, and then you could show them pictures of the Bible, pictures of their church, and you can see how much they love with their brain the gospel, the things of God's heart. Their family is part of that, but you can see it to say, I think there's been such a lie in the body that's, man, if I love God with all my mind, my brain is not a part of it. Well, I teach men, everything you eat might not go to your hips. There's some guys listening that, man, you don't have a problem with weight ever, but here's the deal. Not everything you eat goes to your hips. Everything that you eat and drink, everything goes to your brain. Mm. Everything. So, and with your heart, God, I love you with all my heart. Well, if your blood pressure, and we'll talk about this in the Special Forces podcast, which I can't wait for. We'll deep dive on this. If your blood pressure is high because your arteries are clogged, and you've been sedentary and you've been canning Monster energy drinks just to feel a little bit normal throughout the day, and you're going to be more snappy at those people around you. And honestly, like, I don't want somebody loving me that is snappy and has crazy high blood pressure, because they're going to be emotionally unstable. When Jesus said, I want you to love you with all, love the Lord your God with all your heart, it's everything. And we know now with science that the heart is the physical heart is the regulator for hormonal responses. So now when we say, okay, God, like, I want to love you with, as I eat my food, I want it to be good for my arteries and healthy for my heart, so it can pump on a healthy level and I can have a low resting heart rate, healthy blood pressure, so I can walk into the most stressful situation and not be overcome by the stress. So, and love the Lord your God with all your strength. One of the coolest things about these bodies, no matter where you're at, if you're born without an arm, if you're born without legs, and you have two arms, or Nick Vujicic, he came to our church in Oklahoma City, it was about 3 months ago, and listening to him talk about stewardship of his body still. You have a body that Jesus bought with his blood on a cross, that God bought with the blood of Jesus on a cross for us. And we have to steward it. And that, you know, you can look at the stewardship of that to say, oh, that's a pain. It's so hard to exercise. It's so hard to eat healthy. And you can look at the momentary discipline and miss it if you don't focus on the outcome. Because let me tell you, and you know, and everybody that's healthy would know, there's nothing fun about pull-ups. There's nothing enjoyable about push-ups. If you think they're enjoyable, you're not doing enough and you're not challenging yourself. There's nothing fun about running. There's nothing fun about eating chicken and broccoli. I love Krispy Kreme donuts. I have them with my family one day a week. I love Krispy Kreme donuts. I love pizza. I don't love egg whites. Even Job, in Job chapter 6, when he is going through such terrible turmoil, he even says how terrible egg whites taste. In the earliest book that we have in the Bible, He is making fun of healthy food. So we know it's a discipline, but we have to be able to focus on those disciplines from a biblical perspective to say, man, this is why I'm getting on this treadmill, God, because I love you with all my heart.
And so, Cody, what you're saying also and challenges with is that we really, and we're not talking about judging anybody or trying to condemn anybody, but to really go and petition God to say, God, if I truly love you with all my heart, mind, and strength, where is the fruit of that in my life? Of loving you on all three of those levels. I love how you break that down because, I mean, I like the illustration of it because we say it so flippantly, but do we really say, God, examine me and show me to me the way you see me in these areas. Am I loving you with my mind? And like you said, feeding your brain. Am I loving you with my heart? That means, am I in a good emotional place? And am I loving you with my body that I'm strong enough to endure? Because my thing is, if God has called you here for a purpose to do some great things, my goodness, he wants you to live long enough to see it fulfilled. Amen. You know, so I love how you break that down. Now, before I want to address another issue with men, because I'm hoping that, you know, because I mean, I see my wife go through this and I'm sure you go through it too, when you want to help someone so bad, but you are more concerned about their health than they are. And you try to give them so many different reasons about, because I tell people the reason why I've been working out for the last 30 something years, I still can improve on the eating part, but my wife helps me with that. I say one of the main reasons I do it because I want to be around for my grandchildren.
Amen.
You know, and I want to be able to enjoy my grandchildren. So we can give them the reason with their family, being around for their spouse, fulfill their calling. But I want to address that man out there who will say, yeah, brother, you guys tell them about their bodies because I work out 5 days a week and they got big pecs and big biceps and everything. What about the man who has taken it to the level that is almost seems like an obsession? And because those men think, well, there's nothing wrong with me. You know, you Christians need to get it together because I work out in the gym all the time. Is there a danger in going to the extreme when it comes to fitness? And what would you say to that particular man who think there's nothing wrong with me spending a lot of time in the gym and they, you know, we call them gym rats, those kind of things. Do you ever have to deal with those kind of men on a psychological level? And if so, what do you say to them?
Oh, big time, big time. And before I answer that, I want to answer that with my heart. What I talked about from just the section just before this, the exciting thing when I share that message of what it is to love God, it's never from a condemning place. It's always from God's grace is there, and we work from his grace and never for it. We work from his strength and never for it. People will tell me, man, I don't have the discipline to eat healthy. And I quote 2 Timothy 1:7. Say, do you believe it or don't you believe it? That God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a self-disciplined mind, a sound, self-controlled mind. So it's always working to say like, hey, God, don't worry about it. God's already equipped you. Just use the strength he's given you. So just wanted to touch on that before we get in. So it's always a hope-filled journey. And that's exciting. But the area to the gym rats, this is one of the things that we'll deep dive into on, and we're going to deep dive right now, but even more on the Special Forces lifestyle. But I wanted to say right now that a Special Forces soldier does not train in our Army today just to be pretty in a mirror. They train for the highest productivity possible for their mission. And that, as men, is what we have to be concerned for, because let me tell you, it's easy to start making yourself an idol with fitness. I tell guys all the time, be careful, because I've seen on my level, I've helped six certain guys get six packs. They think that they're ripped, and they start to believe in the lie that they are better than they actually are in their marriage, and they fall. Those six guys have fallen to affairs. So Satan plays, if you study Lucifer and how he got kicked out of heaven, it was he was the most beautiful of God's creation of his angels. And because of his pride of wanting to be God, he got kicked out. And it was that sin that he'll never get forgiven for. So I warn men all the time, exercise, if it's not about purity of your heart and increased productivity for the mission that God has given you, be careful. because you can slip in and justify living in the lie of making your reflection an idol. And man, I see it all the time. You look at social media, you look at our news today, and guys will be with their shirts off flexing, and they'll justify it by putting a scripture on their Instagram.
Yeah.
You know, and I see this dude with like an 8-pack flexing his muscle with, I can do all things through Christ. And I'm just thinking like, hey, ah, man, there's a lot better ways to show that. So it's that understanding. Now, I have a friend, James Ellis, out in Los Angeles, who he is called to be a fitness model. That is his mission. He does that extremely well. He loves Jesus like crazy, like crazy. So it's a part of his mission, but he still will talk about the dangers of being praised just for the way that you look. Mm-hmm. And that's what gym rats have to be careful for when they start to study the body. And when you start to find yourself flexing in the mirror for too long when nobody's around, you have to be careful because Peter is teaching the elders in 1 Peter 5:8. So he's not teaching the non-believer. He's not teaching the immature believer. He's teaching the elders and says, be sober-minded. Your adversary, the devil, he's going around like a lion, roaring around, looking for somebody that he can devour. So whether it's with you looking and loving your reflection, it's you loving money, it's you loving the feeling you get when another woman flirts with you because now you have 6-pack abs and you've never had those before, wow, we got to be careful. We got to be careful. And I think the hardest thing, Joe, about being a man on this planet, and Billy Graham wrote it in his book, Nearing Home, when he was 92, is there's never one day where your flesh is dead.
Wow.
Billy Graham said it in his book. It just stopped me when I was reading it. He said his biggest surprise of being 92 is that his flesh is still alive.
Wow.
Come on.
That's such a revelation. I'm thinking that sounds also depressing.
And for every man that hasn't read that book, you need to, because it gives you such perspective. And he says in that book, he said, man, if I had known how hard growing old is, I never would have feared getting killed when I was younger. Because he had threats on his life because he was the leader in grouping white churches and black churches together. And he was training Martin Luther King Jr. in that philosophy and encouraged him to go out and make a big splash and dream big. So that was Billy Graham. So people would write him death threats a lot. And he said, man, I never would have feared that. So it gives you such a empathetic heart and an understanding that we need to take care of our elders. Like, we need to be with them because, man, even if Billy Graham's lonely, there's other people that are lonely. But it also gives you understanding that we need to take care of these brains. Right now, the millennial generation is forecasted to live the last 12 years of their life with support in living. Now, Joe, I'm just being honest. I don't like the idea of anybody helping me go to the bathroom. And if I can prevent that, I'm going to. And we have to be aware that it will never be easy to steward these bodies. And research shows us, the CDC, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, they have CDC alarming statistics of 2050. Every man should just look them up and read through them to say, if you guys don't take care of your health, every day it's a battle. Every day it's a decision we make. But here's the deal. As men, as Christian warriors, we have to make the decision anyway. The flesh wages war against the spirit. So make the decision to walk in the spirit. What is this? Man, the Holy Spirit lives in the realm of a kingdom mind. And the fruit of the Spirit are everything that we want as Christians. Everything that we want. We don't want the lust of the flesh. And your flesh lusts for sitting in your recliner after you've been sitting in a cubicle all day and getting home and sitting in a recliner and watching TV for 3 hours. It lusts after that. It doesn't need that. And we have to start giving our bodies what it needs for our mission in Christ and not what it's lusting after. Because we're just touching the surface. Like this, the fitness, what I found is always the surface. In our next podcast that we do together, Joe, I want to dive in, because if you're allowing your body to do that, you're starting to feed it a little bit. And then, I just have to be real transparent with everybody. I'm at the gym this morning. I love working out in the morning. And this is where Philippians 4:8 is. And I'm working out. And you can't control everything that happens to you, but I have a habit of not training my mind to wander with whatever thought and thing that it sees. And I take Philippians 4:8 very seriously to say, I want my deep thought life. Like, I don't work out and lift. I was doing pull-ups this morning and back and lifting biceps. And, man, it was an hour and 15 minutes of a great workout. I don't listen to Dr. Dre while I'm doing that.
Right.
You know, because Dr. Dre is not teaching me how to love my wife effectively. I'm listening to Lecrae while I'm doing that. And, man, I look over and, you know, it's probably 5:50 in the morning, and there's two women lifting weights, and they take a break to make out right in the gym next to me. Where I'm going for my next set.
Wow.
And these are pretty women. These are pretty women. And I just remember thinking, like, man, we are called as men to be in. Like, God didn't save us and take us to heaven. He saved us and left us to finish our mission. And if I can practice overcoming my body's lust for Chips Ahoy cookies when I'm supposed to be eating chicken and beautiful vegetables, if I can practice then, I can be ready for when I turn to go do a set of dumbbell rows, and between me and that set are two girls just taking a break making out at 5:50 a.m. in the morning. And that sight doesn't consume me to get me to go meditate on that and think about that. What I did was I countered it, and I started praying for them. So we have to take it serious, because when I talk to guys and they're like, man, I drink a Coca-Cola, and man, I love Coke. I don't want to give up my Coca-Cola. I say, man, in the military, we clean batteries with Coca-Cola. So you're telling me you do whatever you want whenever you feel like it with your body. And they're like, yeah, oof, that's nowhere in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible. Because if I did whatever I want, my wife and I have been married for over 10 years, and praise God, we have a healthy, strong marriage. If I did whatever if I let my body do whatever I want, Joe, you know this, every man listening knows this, we would not still be married.
I know that's right.
We would not still be married. We have to understand the pain in the moment should never define our decisions we make about our destiny.
Amen. Amen. You know, Cody, I love what you're sharing, and I'm taking notes feverishly. I can't wait to let my wife listen to this particular episode, because I told you she has a heart for this, and I can hear her now saying hallelujah, amen, everything you're saying.
Yeah.
And I'm learning a lot of new things that I haven't even heard her mention before. So this is great. And I kind of outlined it this way. We have addressed the man who does not take this serious enough. His health, his body, the temple that God has given him. And I love how you broke that down with the mind, the mind, the heart, and the strength of loving God. And we addressed the man who takes it too seriously, when his body becomes an idol. And I love something you said, we're probably going to put this on a placard to promote this episode, is that we were to train our bodies for a mission, not a mirror. I love that, Cody.
Man, praise God.
I love that. And now I want to, before we transition into the man of questions, I want to ask you about one other group we haven't addressed when it comes to men. And that's the men who are too scared to start or to sustain it. And I just want to start by asking you one question. What advice would you give to that man he believes that he should? He's not going to take it too seriously and make his body an idol, but he knows that he needs to get in shape. He needs to exercise. He needs to start eating properly because people are dependent on him. And he's saying, Cody, you don't have to convince me how important it is and that not to take it too seriously. But Cody, man, I'm scared, man. I haven't worked out in years. I'm afraid I'm not going to find anything that I like to eat anymore when it comes to eating part of it. What would you tell him? What advice would you give him on how to get unstuck from the fear of getting his body right and getting healthy?
Yeah. Oh, man, that's such a great question. It always comes down to me when I have that conversation to personality versus identity, where people will come to me a lot and be like, man, like, because I encourage every man, you drink at least 96 ounces of water every day. Men will come to me and be like, man, I just don't like water. I'm like, well, let me put you on a treadmill for 3 hours, and all of a sudden you magically start liking water.
Right.
We don't like water because we've allowed conditions to change that. So for all of us men, we face things, and we, as we're all transparent and honest, there are things that we are called to as believers that scare us. And if you're not facing those, you're not walking by faith, Because, man, I'm following Jesus. I read through about Jesus' life and I study it all the time. Man, I'm glad I wasn't with those guys, because there would have been like doubting Thomas. There would have been like annoying Cody. I mean, like, they would have preached on my life, because Jesus was uncomfortable to follow. He was uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And so when we follow Jesus, we can't be like the guy, the rich man that came up and said, "What, man, like, I want to follow you." He's like, "I've done all these things." And Jesus says, "Okay, go sell all your possessions and come on." And the guy walked away. We can't be that way. We have to say, "Jesus, I will follow you no matter what." And if Jesus looks at you and says, "Okay, come after me, put down your Coke, pick up your cross and follow."
I love it.
Will we do it? Yes, because the fear we feel in that situation, for that man listening to say, "Man, I have a fear of sustaining it." These are a lot of the fears I hear, and they're realistic fears. As believers, we operate by faith and not fear. We identify fear because we're called to. My ministry is focused on this, is to say, I want to see men praying that God sends them into the hells of this earth. And there's no way you're not going to go into a war, into a battlefield, and not sense fear and not see it. You can't be overcome by it. It can't get into your deep intellectual thinking, like Paul said. So when guys are saying, "Man, like, I don't know, like, I don't know if I can budget that. I don't know if I can figure that out. I don't know." Man, pull up Siri or Cortana or whatever your device is and ask her the question. There's going to be 1.3 million answers that will come up to, "Hey, can you pull up a shopping list for healthy eating?" The information is out there.
Yes.
We don't want the fear to ever paralyze us, because if we look at this and we know that we should do it, and now every man listening to this, no matter where you're at, you're the bodybuilder, you're the fitness model, wherever you're at, James 4:17 has to just speak in our heart. If we know good and we don't do it, it's sin. And there should never be a man 1 second of his life intentionally practicing sin. And we have to step away from it. So for that man listening, those men listening, to say, "I know I should, but I'm scared." Man, like, step out of the boat. Step out of the boat and go. And go. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He'll help you. And if you think you're ever going to magically like broccoli someday, that's a lie.
Please tell my wife that. Will you tell my wife that? I'm not going to ever like broccoli.
Oh, I'm telling. So, interesting fact about broccoli. Now, people like what they put on broccoli. They've trained their mind to see past broccoli. Interesting fact about broccoli. You cannot neurochemically get a high. It's the only food on the planet you can't get a high from. You don't have endorphins going up. You don't have any response to broccoli. Now, I have plenty of responses to some ranch dressing, to some Velveeta cheese, to some seasonings that I put on broccoli, and I can really enjoy those. But broccoli, you can't. So for men to think that they're going to just magically love broccoli, now I'm probably more like your wife. I can look at broccoli and say, "You know what, I enjoy it because it fills my stomach up, has such great fiber in it, that I'm not starving and thinking about binge eating on some sweet food."
Right.
And so I can feel the nutritional benefit that broccoli brings me. I don't like eating it in the moment. Mm-hmm. And I think for that man listening to say, "Man, I've never ate healthy. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to lead my family in this way." There are, you just step out of the boat. God will provide. He'll provide the resources. They're out there. And just keep your eyes on him and follow him. Don't be like Peter and look around and start to see everything scary and let emotions overtake you and distract your faith and you start to sink.
Thank you so much, Cody, for that. I mean, that really is a blessing to hear. Just, and I'm hoping that the men take this seriously, because I love your angle on this and your view of it, because what we do need to do, we need to change the lens in which we see our health and see that it's also the way we take care of our body is worship to God. It's worship. It is an act of worship. So I appreciate that. And now, you know, Cody, it's time for the man up questions.
Right.
All right. And these are just 5 quick questions, starting with the letters M-A-N-U-P. We kind of dive into your personal life with these questions, and all they require is fearless honesty, which I'm sure you won't have a problem with at all. Yeah. And so the question is, Cody, are you ready?
I'm ready. Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, and we'll get started right after this short break. If you're like most men in our audience, you're committed to becoming the man, husband, father, and leader God called and created you to be. But the truth of the matter is, you struggle with either finding the time or knowing where to start. That's exactly why I created the Real Men Spiritual Leader Blueprint, to give you a step-by-step, easy-to-follow guide to spiritually leading your family, even if you're a new believer.
Now, you can't buy the Real Men Spiritual Leader Blueprint, but you can get it for free by signing up for our free e-newsletter. By signing up, you will be notified anytime fresh content is added to my site, so you don't always have to visit my blog to stay up to date on the latest information. Now, to get your free copy of the Real Men Spiritual Leader Blueprint, just visit realmenconnect.com and simply enter your name and email address on the form on the page. So if you're tired of trying to figure it all out and fit it all in as the spiritual leader, provider, and protector of your family, don't miss your chance to discover how to be the man God called and created you to be. Sign up today at realmenconnect.com. Okay, guys, we're back with Cody Bobé, who's the author of SoulCon Challenge and the founder of SoulCon Men's Ministry, and he says he's ready for the man of questions. So, Cody, the question starts with the letters M-A-N-U-P, and the first letter is M, and it stands for mistake. Now, Cody, personally as a man, what mistake did you learn the most from?
So, at year 7 in my marriage, we've been married for over 10 years, at year 7 my marriage almost fell apart. We have a rule, you can't use divorce, the word divorce. At year 7 I used it, I was done. Because I was having an affair with work, with ministry work. So clothed in look like really good God work. And it was good for the kingdom, but man, it just about killed my marriage. And that is not good. I got consumed by that. And in that, I learned one of the greatest mistakes that I can ever tell a man from my life is your wife is, you're an iPhone and your wife is your charger. You need her strength every day or you're going to run out of steam. And you guys are connected together. And when I realized, the greatest mistake I realized was in the first 7 years of my marriage, that my wife is not just as much of a warrior for the mission I'm called to as I am. And when I realized that, it changed everything to where now I seek her wisdom. I seek her advice more than anybody on this planet because we are one flesh. And I'm telling you, she's a fierce warrior. And when I did that, the intimacy, emotionally, mentally, physical intimacy, which is, hey, that's a winner for a guy. Like every guy wants that to be great. That increases when you increase in your understanding that your wife, for all the married men, is your equipping to finish your ministry, to finish your work, whatever you're called to.
Oh, I love that, Cody. I love that. You know, I keep hearing you use the word warrior. You had no idea that in the Real Men University on our virtual campus, that's what we address each other as, Warrior Cody.
Warrior Joe. Thanks,
that's what we're the mighty warriors, man. Now, the A represents, Cody, attitude. And obviously, you have a heart for men's ministry. That's what you do with SoulCon.
Praise God.
If you could change an attitude, one attitude in men, based on what you see on a regular basis, what would that attitude be?
Oh man, I would love the attitude of Philippians 4:8 in men. The attitude that says it's all about him, Christ, and not about you. It's so no matter how great or terrible the last 10 seconds were of your life, if they're horrible, ask for forgiveness. If they were great, give the glory to God and forget about it. Remember, set up symbols to remember, but be careful. Don't hold that glory in your heart. Right. I would love to see the attitude inside of men start to become those like Navy SEALs on this planet to say they're not in it for the praise, the fame, the accolades. They're in it for the mission and only the mission. And how you have to have that attitude is every day you wake up and you get out of bed, as soon as your alarm clock goes off, we're going to talk about this in the Special Forces Lifestyle podcast we do. As soon as your alarm clock goes off, you get out of bed and you make sure before life punches you in the face, you just, man, you claim the day. You get out of bed first time your alarm clock goes off and you have an attitude that says, no matter what, I win and I'm working from victory, his victory. My actions don't define my eternal destiny. Thank God for that. I screw up all the time. But if we can get men to make that warrior attitude, that's it's all about his goodness and us thinking on that and not our works being perfect. Because a lot of men, what they do when they talk to me is like, man, I can't be used by God. Like, let me tell you what I've done wrong. And I said, man, you're misunderstanding the gospel. It's not about you.
Right, right. I love that, Cody. And, you're getting them so excited about when we bring you back on. I know what the question is going to be. Joe, when is that show coming out? So we're going to have to schedule that really fast.
Yes, praise God. I can't wait.
Now, Cody, the N is the next letter, and that stands for next. And obviously, you're doing a lot of great things. I visited your website, and I can't wait to get a copy of your book. What's the next big thing you would attempt to do for God if you knew you couldn't fail when it comes to the area of fitness or your ministry?
Yeah, that is such a heavy question, I think, for every man. I am doing that next big thing right now. And I, with the ministry of SoulCon, the next thing that I am working on is, I believe God's working by faith to establish this Special Forces Training Center in McAlester, Oklahoma, for men to be able to come and be in its extreme discipleship training program and be taught by ex-Special Forces guys that are all believers. And they get taught on increased healthy blood pressure, meditation as a believer. How do you meditate daily? I think the human brain could be completely changed. Science shows us this. If we could just get Christians to meditate for 10 minutes a day and understand what meditation is. Meditation is not a quiet place where you're scrolling Facebook.
Right.
Meditation. So really the next big thing, that's what I'm dreaming towards. And that's what I'm going towards. And if I couldn't fail, man, I would just, and I'm living like I can't fail. So, I mean, you scan my life and my marriage, it is just operation by faith in this ministry. So I'm doing that, and I believe it's going to be a reality where guys can come from all over the world for 4-day, 7-day, 14-day experiences and just could be completely transformed with the way they think about their body, soul, and spirit.
Dude, sign me up. I love it. I didn't know there was such a thing. Yeah, well, yeah. I'm telling you, I love God and how he creates divine appointment, because you're speaking my language. I know you speak my wife's language as well. And I didn't think anyone believed this kind of stuff when it came to the special force Christians. And you're actually doing something about it by putting in motion a vision of having a training center. I think that is incredible, man. And I'm going to be praying for you on that and seeing what I can do to help support you in that.
Yeah,
now, the next letter, Cody, is U, and it stands for understand. And when you were younger, what was the one thing you didn't understand about being a man? But you know better now, because you had a somewhat tumultuous childhood based on some of the things that you got into. What do you know now that you didn't know then about being a man?
Yeah. So, man, when I became a Christian, one of the things that pops out in my head, and I didn't share this, when I became a Christian, I was God set me free from so much, created me a new person, but I dealt with a pornography addiction for 9 months, like heavy pornography addiction. And one thing that I didn't understand growing up or even in the young part of my Christian walk with the Lord when I was 18 to 20 is there's nothing sweeter than walking in an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. There's nothing better. Like there's – and you hear people say that, but like there's no – there's nothing on pornography that's sweeter. There's nothing out there physically with having sex with different women and hot women and all that. There's no drug, no alcohol. There's nothing sweeter than walking with the God that sent his only son to die for you. Now, I have a son, Joe. I have a son. He's 5. I have a son and a daughter. I would not give my life or his life for anybody on this planet. But God is perfect, and he sent his only son to die for me, which you look at my life in high school, I was using God's name in vain. I was against him, and he's still – so that understanding that there's nothing sweeter, and there's no prerequisite for us as men. It's just making the decision to be connected. I tell people all the time, one of the worst things in this world is if we all are sprinklers, is to be focused on how cool we look as sprinklers.
Right.
And we forget to connect to the hose.
Yeah, I love it. That is great. You know, Cody, I tell you, when we were launching the podcast, one of the biggest challenges I had was what show do I start with? You know, because I had a list of about 250, I still have this list, running list of guests who I want to appear on the show. And so I knew I can get a lot of these guests, but I didn't know who should I invite on, not just who's going to accept first, but to set the tone of what Real Men Connect is all about. Or, and as if no one ever listened to the next podcast, what is the one podcast I want to be to air? And I prayed on it. And you know, the first, well, other than me introducing who I was, the first guest I brought on was one of my best friends. And the topic was how to build an intimate relationship with Christ.
Oh, man.
Because I figured if they never listened to, now we're on, we're past 80 episodes. If they never listened to another episode, if they just got that, I didn't care if they listened to anything else. And ironically, as we grew in popularity, that wasn't a very popular podcast. Oh, but man. Now we're 10 months into whatever we're in the episodes. Do you know now that is the top podcast that's been downloaded?
Man, praise God.
Isn't that awesome? So that even if awesome. We went off the air tomorrow, that I'm glad that you pointed that out, because to me, that's the most important thing. Because in that intimate relationship with Christ, you find your identity. And you realize that I don't find my identity in porn or in my ministry or in my job or whatever it may be that we're addicted to or we're craving after. So I'm glad that you said that. And now here's the last one.
Yeah.
And it's the P in Man Up, and it stands for problem. And obviously, you've come a long way, Cody, and God has brought you a long way in your relationship with him. But even today as a man, what problem do you still struggle with?
Oh, that's a good one. You know, I wrestle with all the time, still the problem, and I think a lot of men wrestle with this, is Colossians 3:2, where Paul pours out to us to say, think on things of heaven and not things on this earth. Where I look at my kids and I can feel fear thinking about when I read an article that there was a school shooting in an elementary, which, you know, happened a month ago, and my son is at his elementary. I can think on things of this world. When I read yesterday what ISIS did to this Christian boy that was boldly professing a Christian, they took him outside and they killed him. When I read that, I can look at things from the lens that I see as a human, from my bank account, whether that's good or bad, which I've seen both ways, whether my book sales, whether I post a picture on social media and how many likes it gets, or how much the communication, how the book sales are doing, how the product sales, how the ministry, I don't want to see from that perspective for 1 second. And that's a problem I have to deal with daily. And there's a war for our soul with it. And we have to be so concerned with that, Joe, that we have to constantly be thinking, God, let me see people, let me see this life like you do.
Cody, thank you so much, man, for being so honest with us and sharing that with us. Because I love those questions, because I want men to know that even if we're moving in the direction that God wants us to go and we're growing closer to him, that, like you said, Billy Graham said it, the flesh is still living. That flesh has to die daily. And so I'm glad that you were able to share that. And we've come to the end of the show. And obviously, Cody, you're going to be back on again. So I appreciate that. God. But I'd like to thank Cody Bobé for joining us today being so gracious with his time. Now, Cody, if we wanted to find out more about what you're doing with SoulCon and your ministry, how or what's the best way to get in contact with you so we can find out more about you?
Yeah, my favorite way, and one of my favorite things for our ministry, it released a month ago, and it's our app. If you look up in any app store, it's free. SoulCon Ministries is a 501c3, just an incredible men's ministry to the heart of a man that watches a movie like American Sniper, like Lone Survivor, and walks out wanting to be a little more elite with their life. It targets that heart of men that want to take their walk with Jesus to the next level. Man, look up in your app store, SoulCon, one word, SoulCon. You'll see it. There is, it's a cool logo. It's a logo I put together that is a Special Forces logo. You'll see it. It's a skull with a fork with a snake crawling up it, talking about the fork that feeds your flesh and how Satan uses that. And then there's the cross behind it, where we have to pick up our cross daily. So you'll see that logo. Man, download that, guys. Get connected. Like, there's free workout videos on there, amazing meal plans, free recipes. So if you're wondering, how do I do this? It's all on there for free.
Great. And
it's all
awesome.
by me. And then there's a community. You can join a private community for men that are warrior believers. You can see the resources and products, my book, SoulCon Challenge. But just really through that app, download that app, get it connected. You'll get weekly challenges that will push you physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually.
Fantastic, Cody. And what we also do is include that information in the show notes, as well as your email address or your website, so they'll be able to contact you. But I'm going to get that app as soon as I get off this, off this show with you today, because I can't wait, man, because you're speaking my language. I love it, man. And so, guys, hey, we come to the end of the show, but please, share this episode with those men you know who need to get their health right, need to get serious about fitness, and they just need that extra bit of confidence or that extra little push that Cody provided us with today. And also, do us a huge favor. If you want us to remain at the top of the charts, please take about 30 seconds, if you haven't done it already, and go over to the program and rate the program and leave us a brief review, because that's the best way to help us get this program in the hands, ears, and hearts of men just like you. Until next time, I'm Joe Martin, your man builder with RealMenConnect.com, reminding you that we are males by birth, but we are men, as Cody would say, we're warriors by choice. So each and every day, choose to be the warrior that God has called and created you to be, because a male is a terrible thing to waste. So until next time, stay strong, stay blessed, and as always, stay in his grip.
Thank you for listening to the Real Men Connect podcast with Dr. Joe Martin. Real Men Connect isn't just a podcast. It's a mission, ministry, and movement to help good men become the great men God called and created us to be. And the best is yet to come. So if you enjoyed this episode, go ahead and leave us a review in iTunes. It really helps us to build the podcast and to reach, teach, and impact more men, all for the glory of God. And make sure you check out RealMenConnect.com to get our free tools and resources to help you go from good man to great man God's way. Again, that's RealMenConnect.com. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the next episode.